Isn't God good? We don't have to have a certain method or anything. He's just good. And he comes to us and he loves us and he wraps his arms around us. And it's not based upon how well you perform for him. It's just because he loves you. Just because you're his son and you're his daughter. That's what I love about God. And I hope that we're beginning to catch that as a body. Doesn't mean that we just go out and do whatever we want. We do want to try to please him. But here's the difference. It's the motivation for what we do. It's not I have to. It's I want to. And I don't have to be the Holy Spirit for anybody else. They're perfectly capable of hearing God. They're perfectly capable of listening to his voice. So one of the things that I've been talking about with some of my inner circle, I guess you would call it, I think we all have those people, and people that in our council and just, you know, all throughout the church, I hear a lot of things. Pastor Matt shared a message probably 5 weeks ago, something like that. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. It had to do a lot to do with just the, you know, he took a puzzle, and there were just pieces to that puzzle. That puzzle has all kinds, whether it's a 1,000-piece puzzle or 750 or 100 or whatever it is. But that portrait isn't complete until every piece of the puzzle is a part of it. And that was the point, and what we've been really wanting to see is everybody seeing that they have a place. And it's not just Sunday morning. This is just the tip of the iceberg, gang. I think we know that. We know that Sunday morning is just kind of hopefully an overflow of what we're experiencing throughout our week and our personal times with Jesus and when we come together. We are the church. We the people. This is just a building. This is a tool that we use to come together and worship God in. And I just want to, again, commend you, my brother in the back there, without mentioning any names. His name rhymes with Craig, but it starts with a G. Did he and Marilyn do a beautiful job decorating in here? Amen. Amen. And we want to beautify the house, and we want to do things with excellence, and we want to lift up the name of Jesus and glorify him. But more importantly, it's easy to do it in here. We want to do it out there. We want to do it, when I say out there, wherever your sphere of influence is at. And we want to help you in that. But we also, you need to know, are a part of that. We have to lead the way in doing that. And one of the things that as we were talking about, I was thinking about, you know, when God spoke to Abraham, right? And he told Abraham that he was blessed and that he was going to bless the generations following him. But he said something in that. He said, you're blessed to be a blessing. I think sometimes we get this understanding in our version of westernized Christianity sometimes, and some of this prosperity gospel stuff, it really kind of distorts. I know there's elements of truth and whatnot, but it really distorts a lot of the truth of the heart of the gospel, because it's not about you and I accumulating things here. I believe God will give us things, okay? But not just to hoard unto ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. And then he'll pour out more blessing on your life, because he knows he can trust you to pour out more blessing on other people's lives. And it's not always about money. Sometimes, you know, if you got a good strong back and you can help somebody move, you know. God spoke to me about that years ago, so it was like all of a sudden I had all these people wanting me to move. Or if you got a truck, man, watch out, okay? They're going to be coming and talking to you. But I was complaining one day about that, and the Lord reminded me, you're blessed to be a blessing. I gave you a strong back so you can help these people. And now as I've gotten a little older, thank God, there's some other people that can do that now. I still enjoy a good hard day's work. I love working with my hands and getting out there and getting dirty and all that. I love it. But I also recognize that my body wears out. So the seasons of my life change. And I'm still blessed. I still go through things, but I'm blessed to be a blessing. So in light of that, we have an individual I'm going to bring up this morning, and we're going to kind of have a conversation. And a lot of you know him, but I would guess, since we've had such a kind of a real change in demographic here, and a lot of you probably don't know Randy's story. And Randy is a very, very dear friend of mine. He was on the search committee when they actually interviewed me and Kelly. And if you're looking for somebody to blame, okay, it's right there. he's a man of God, and he's had quite a journey. And I'm going to let him. Those are his words to speak this morning. He's a man of God, first and foremost, and he loves Jesus with all his heart. I consider him a very close friend. I could go to him with anything and share my heart with him, and he wouldn't judge me, he wouldn't put me down, he would just love me, but he would also encourage me. He's also at times had to say, hey, pastor, you know, and push back a little bit on things, or even bring just the Word of God. I'll never forget, Ray, you remember the time, we're all sitting, we used to have this little room in my office there, we had a round table. And what's said at the round table stays at the round table. No. But we had a round table on Sunday mornings. And I remember Randy one day, we were all sitting in there. We were wrestling with humility and pride and, you know, just like things that guys do. Because guys, we're never prideful, are we? No. And Randy, I just remember his finger like started way up here, okay? And he says, guys, and he puts his finger down on the table, and it was like it busted the table in half, and it was like, pride is the root of it all. And we're just like sitting there, but it was a holy moment. This is the kind of guy Randy is. He doesn't always talk a lot, but when he does, it's worthy of a listen. So I'm going to ask us all to lean into this morning and welcome Randy Leonard as he comes this morning. There you go. So, Randy, we've had quite a journey together. In 5 years now, we're going into, and we've seen a lot together. We've experienced a lot together, a lot of ups, downs, all arounds, good, bad, ugly.
Oh, yes.
And Jesus has been faithful through all of it.
Yes, he has.
So, looking at the church here, and there's a lot of different people here now. Maybe you could just kind of give some highlights of your journey from when you were a kid to now. The major one, obviously, is your heart, and maybe you can kind of explain what's happened in your life.
Okay. Well, first of all, before I go into that, I'm really encouraged by the verse by Paul in 1 Corinthians when he's talking to them, saying that I didn't come to you with eloquent words or lofty wisdom and everything. I just came to you knowing and teaching and speaking Christ and him crucified. And that's all he knew. Because, honestly, I don't have any eloquent words. I don't have any lofty speech. I have a lifetime of low blood oxygen level and a heart transplant. So my brain don't work that well anymore. As well as, I mean, honestly, here's what it is. Anybody remember the lottery with the ping pong balls? Yeah, okay. My brain is like ping pong balls flying all around with words on them. And it's like, you know, the ping pong ball falls like Christ. Oh, yeah, okay. Was, Oh, all right, all right. The, oh, we're getting good. We're almost there. Son, oh my goodness, we're getting close. Of, oh wow, this might actually happen. Potato. No. Well, maybe next time. All right, anyway, it's just a lottery. Yeah, it was a horrible joke, dad joke, stuff like that. But I've had heart condition my whole life. I was born with missing my right ventricle, okay? And I had my first surgery when I was 16 hours old. I had another one when I was 2 and another one when I was 4. When I was 4, that's when they bypassed the whole right side of my heart. So I was working off a half a heart since then. And so really, that's I since I was 4 up until I was like 25, I lived with that. I went to school, I played sports, I did this and that. I couldn't do football and stuff like that, but I did all the sports, I did everything I was good, only by the grace of God. But where am I going with this?
Well, why don't you have a wonderful family, you have a wonderful wife and 8 beautiful kids.
Oh yeah. And, we listen to this. Listen to this. I have a heart condition, right? My wife has a heart condition, okay? Her heart is backwards, it's like turned backwards. We have 8 kids. Two people with heart conditions have 8 kids. What is going on? You know, this is, it's just crazy. So yeah, we have 8 kids, we struggle, we have good times, we have bad times. It's a roller coaster. Of emotion, and it's just chaos.
So when you were a young...
God has blessed us with 8 kids, by the way.
None. Yes, amen. Yeah, because we've had these
8 quivers. 8 quivers.
Yes, 8 quivers. A full quiver.
Oh, wait a minute, full, right? Quiver. 8 arrows, sorry.
And there was always those well-intending people that would come up to you and say, haven't you figured out how that happened yet? You know, and all
that. I did, and I said, it's fun.
Yeah. We have somebody that agrees with you. That's right. But, you know, you weren't going to let this stop you. You did, you know, obviously you mentioned there was some restriction that you had, but yeah. I noticed early on of getting to know you that you were an incredibly hard worker. And you would... You, there just wasn't anything you was going to get you down, you know, and mm-hmm. you always worked hard. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I was told that if you don't work hard and don't work with your hands, you're not working at all. So, no, my family, I've watched my family throughout the years just work hard, you know, for everything they have. And it's hard to, things don't come easy, you know? And a lot of people have to work a lot harder as far as, what in the world? This thing. I just, like my family, I attribute that to them. I mean, he's one of the hardest workers, Grandpa over there. He's one of the hardest workers I know. Not Fred. He's, you know.
Fred, you work hard too.
I have yet to see it, but. We go back and forth.
That's fun. Right.
We have fun.
So, along with your... You grew up in church, right?
I did. I grew up in Cuba Assembly.
Okay. So, but just like a lot of people, you grew up in church, and you had some wandering.
Yes. Well, this is what happens, okay? When you're a kid in church, just like all of you, right here, you hear it. You hear it, you know, spoken at the pulpit. You hear it spoken here and there in your Sunday schools and this and that. And then when you walk out, you never see it lived out. And you sit there and you're like, what's the point of this? It doesn't make sense. So, obviously, when you don't see the power of God working through people, when you don't see people living out what Christ, becoming the image of God, you know, Christ-like, when you don't see that happening on a daily basis by the people surrounded by you or the people who claim to be Christians that are in church every Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday night and, you know, you're like, this doesn't make sense. I don't want to be a part of it. It's just hypocrisy. I don't want to be a part of it. So you just go live your own life. Mm-hmm. I got into drugs, alcohol, wandering eyes, pornography, you know, sex out of marriage, all of this. It was just the ways of the world. That was just a part of it. And led me down some dark roads.
Can you think of a time that maybe you, I mean, because through that journey as a prodigal, I know you've shared with me that God, he never let you go. I mean,
no.
He was always like reminding you or bringing you through things. And I remember you telling me one time about wrecking a car and going through underpass thing. And it was like a miracle that you weren't even...
Yeah. I don't know if anybody knows, like going out 11th, going north towards Brereton, there's a bridge down there during the 11th and Brereton Road right there. There's a bridge underneath there. And if you go look, there's trees everywhere through there. I was going about 70 miles an hour, all hyped up. I was drunk and on coke and everything, and I went through them trees into the bridge. My car cleared that bridge like that, and I came out unscathed. Why, I don't know. Why, I should have been decapitated, I should have hit a tree, and just, I should have been dead there.
So there was lots of...
Of course, there's a lot of times I should have been dead.
And you had shared that. That was just one of...
Yeah.
So what do you think... What was it that finally woke you up and you kind of, you know, came to that moment where that realization that, man, this isn't working?
Okay. I might offend a few people on this. But okay, when we were, my family, we were living in North Carolina at that time. I was drinking heavily, but I had this, you know, kind of like realization, hey, we need to start teaching our kids about God. You know, they're young. We need to start teaching them about God. This comes from my younger church days, you know, obviously. So I was talking to Megan, which I didn't even know whether she went to church or anything during that time. We've been together for, time gets by, I don't know. So we started talking about it, and then we moved back, started going to a Catholic church, and it wasn't for me. Yeah. It wasn't for us. So we came here, and I actually, before that, let me go back. I was sitting in my chair with a fifth of Captain by my side, and I was just drinking it out of the bottle, and I'm flipping through the TV, feeling sorry for myself, and, you know, drunk and smoking weed, and I flipped on the channel, and this is where I might offend people, because I don't want to say I can't stand her, but now,
but she's not one of my favorite people. Joyce Meyer.
But God used her.
She used her. Because I was listening, I flipped her, flipped on, and she was like talking about Christ, and it was just like
a fifth of Captain Weed and Joyce Meyer. Okay, we got this.
Yes.
Okay.
Picture that. Picture that. And shame.
Shame. All right.
But yeah, it was a message that she was talking about, and it was, you know, just Christ. And that, you know, it was that moment right there. Did I quit drinking and did I quit smoking and all that? No. I'm not one of those people who is, oh, I was healed, or, you know, just delivered from it instantly. It was a long process.
But God got a hold.
God got a hold of me, and I tell people, I probably read, at one point in time, I read the Bible more drunk and high than I ever did sober.
Wow, okay, okay. And you're not advocating that.
No. I just, I suggest being drunk in the Holy Spirit and reading the Bible.
Yes, there we go. All right, okay. I do. So, let's fast forward a little bit. One of the things people may not know about you is that you are a very devout man of the Word. You're well studied. You dig in. I've noticed this about you right away, because there's been many times that as a pastor, I'll just have thoughts about things, and I go, there's some people that I'll go to just kick things around. I'll toss it out to Randy. Another one is Bruce that I'll throw things out to, because these guys, man, they just have a way of digging in, digging deep, and finding things. And so how did you develop that love for the Word of God? What were some key things that made that happen in your life?
Struggling in school.
Okay.
Yeah, I struggled bad. I had horrible reading comprehension, and I just was not a good student. And it's hard to speak to people about Christ if you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, if you don't know the Bible, if you don't understand the nuances and the, like, I mean, you don't have to go on full Bible scholar or anything. I mean, but understanding, like, the subtleties of the Hebrew and Greek and, you know, stuff like that, and like the context of the scriptures, and it's easy to take it out of context and teach wrong. And if you're a teacher, and if you teach people, you come under a heavier
James says that we have a stricter judgment, those of us
yeah.
who teach and preach and
yes.
instruct.
And that right there, word. You know, I have a healthy fear of God.
Yes.
And if I teach wrong, I expect to be,
yeah.
you know, I expect consequences from it. And that's, you got to understand what the Bible says. Plus, I mean, I love what the Bible says.
Amen.
It's taught me how to live.
Yeah.
You know, it's made me into an actually functioning, decent human being.
Amen.
I wasn't before.
God's done incredible things in you, and I know that He sustained you.
Yeah. You, maybe you should go in with the kids.
So, man of the Word, we've had discussions, you know, because a lot of times it's hard for us as Christians to navigate through change because we have a form of how we do church, okay? And sometimes it begins to change, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. And
no.
For you, I know you've shared through the years just some of the disconnects that you see You know, you even mentioned some of the, and I too, I saw the hypocrisy in the church. I saw people that lived one way on Sunday, and then Monday was another difference.
Monday through Friday, Saturday,
and,
yeah.
And what God showed me was, you know, look at yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do that, and that's not always a comfortable thing to do.
Necessary.
It's so needed, and it levels the playing field, doesn't it? It's not like we have it all together, because we don't. There's nobody in here that does, and I think we understand that. But where are some other disconnects that you see just, you know, as you study the Word, as you mentioned the power of God, and, you know, just kind of maybe just touch on that, just some highlights of things that you see.
Sorry. Repeat the last part, like to
just maybe a couple of thoughts about where you've talked about the power of God and the absence of it, and you know just the pursuit of God and different things. How has that played out, you know, in your life or what you see different, or how would you encourage us as a church in that?
Go after it. I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
The Bible, there's promises in the Word of God that we should live by. And this is where faith comes in. You have to have faith in what the Bible says and believe it. Live it out. Live like He holds up to His promises.
Amen.
I mean, there... You're not going to see the power of God moving unless you're out presenting it.
That's a good word.
You're not. You can see things in here. You can see glimpses in here of how the power of God moves. Yes. But you want to see the power of God move? Go out there.
Yes.
To the unknown.
Yes.
This is kind of an echo chamber here. Go out there and start, talking to unbelievers, talking to people who don't understand, and use the gifts out there.
Amen.
And see what happens. That's where you're going to see it happen. You want to see the power of God. Let's get in. You don't have to do it by yourself either. You can go. God said, Jesus sent them two by two.
Amen.
He sent them two by two. You go with somebody else if you need to. Go out and preach the gospel out there and see the power of God move.
Amen.
I don't even know if that's how you answered your question
great,
or not. But
no right answer. I just wanted to hear your heart. So through the years, though, you know, we've talked to just about this area of healing.
Mm.
Okay. There's a lot of confusion in this area because we believe in healing, right? We
Yes.
believe in the physical healing, believe in the completeness of healing, we believe in that gift. But ultimately, some of the bad teaching that's out there places mm-hmm. the onus on us where it's not. I mean, we are called to believe and stand and pray for healing. And from what you've shared, you were prayed for. Countless times.
Oh, from the beginning.
From
there's
the beginning.
Some of you
yes.
out here, which shows your age. Sorry, but. Marcy.
But sometimes we equate blessing, okay, with whether or not I'm experiencing this great, miraculous, supernatural healing. So
yeah,
here's the thing: you lived up until 2020, which we're going to get to in just a second.
Yeah.
With half a heart,
mm-hmm.
but you still were praying and believing and standing for healing, right?
Yes.
Did you ever go through discouraging times?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, what? No, I'm a perfect Christian. Of course I went through times where, like, what? Why? You know, you always, why me? Why me? Why me? Cry me a river. No, sorry. You know, that does nothing.
My wife says something like that. She says, like, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, I mean,
you
you know, I got to tell you this story. The other day, I was getting an EKG.
Uh-huh.
You know, she was standing there. I was getting an EKG, and they put those little square things on.
Yeah.
And when they took them off, it just kind of went, and I went, and she kind of went, that ain't cool, man.
Well, secretly, they want to see us in pain.
They want to see us in pain, I know.
Yes. Some outwardly.
But you were standing and praying and believing for healing.
Not just me, a lot
of people were.
We had prayer warriors going crazy.
Yeah.
Especially back, I'm not going to say that.
Right.
Throughout the whole time. Yeah. And I absolutely believe in prayer.
So what did that do to your faith?
Well, let's see. I mean, obviously, standing on the word, you know, and praying without ceasing. That,
right.
And there are times where I stopped praying for, you know, but others didn't. This is why we need each other. This is, I mean, there's no isolated Christianity. I'm sorry, but there's not. This is why we need each other, praying for each other. And this is why, if you have a problem, let people know. So they can pray for you.
Yeah.
Don't hide it. Don't like feel ashamed about it. You know, God already knows. So let us pray.
So sometimes doubt can creep in.
Doubt right? creeps in. But, absolutely. But you know, especially even, over years and yeah. years. Tell you what. One of the best healings that I receive, one of the greatest healings that I received is a renewed mind.
Amen.
That is the greatest healing that you can receive is a healed or a renewed mind. Amen. You know, physical healings and everything are great. I mean, absolutely. But a renewed mind just changes your life.
Amen. So let's now, it's 2020.
Yes.
A year we'd like to all forget, I think. That was COVID's year. This was a year.
No, sorry. There was a. Anybody remember a commercial? There was a commercial out where there was this woman, and it was like she was 2020. You know, that was 2020, and it was a dating app kind of thing, and she's on there, and she is messaging this guy, and then they meet underneath this bridge, and it turns out to be Satan, right? And they're two together, the 2020 and Satan come together, and they all start skipping off into the background like, oh yeah, we're in love. It was Satan was a part of that 2020. Anyway, go.
He was, amen, I agree.
I just like that commercial.
Thank you. So 2020, your health has been kind of spiraling down.
Yeah.
Your oxygen levels.
Oh, yeah. I was on oxygen. I was carrying around one of those oxygen things, had tanks.
And we were incredibly merciful and compassionate to you during that time, right?
Well, not as much as my wife.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
She is a blessing.
But I tell you what, I remember you then got your doctors came to you and they told you that we're placing you high on the transplant list.
Okay? That's why I went to the hospital.
So
got put in the hospital, yes.
You get the phone call and it's your doctors in Northwestern Hospital, Chicago. So
yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, listen, okay. I was in the hospital, okay? I was in the hospital for 53 days. Which, some people were in there for a long time. So I'm in hospital 53 days, and it's 10 o'clock at night. I get this phone call, and they say, well, we have a heart for you. I was like, they were talking to me, and I was like, do you want to accept it? I said, that's what I'm here for. Yes, I'm accepting it. And no kidding, you're in the hospital. You actually get the call in the hospital. They don't just come to you. They get you get a call. It's crazy. Didn't know that.
So you were up there for basically a couple months, and you were away from your family.
Yeah.
I remember traveling up there, and it was mm-hmm. the eeriest trip, man. You go through Chicago, there was no cars,
oh,
nothing.
Yeah.
Even when we went on a couple of those pre-trips
yeah.
and drove you up there. But
yeah.
I remember sitting with you in your room,
mm-hmm.
and you had such a positive attitude, and this was before you got the call for the heart. And it just really ministered to me because there was something taking place in you, but also with the people that you were taking care of, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was fun. Listen, if you're in the hospital, preach the gospel to the nurses and everybody. Listen, they can't go anywhere. They have to be in the room. They can't just leave. They have to listen to you. So if you're in there, Bruce, if you're listening, tell them, preach the gospel.
Yep.
Do it. That was fun.
It was, it became very apparent that everybody had heard the gospel through this man. So I remember you posted a video when the time came, and they were like all standing.
Oh yeah,
the entire place was like clapping in celebration.
And that was cool.
It was really cool because mm-hmm. they were just honoring you and your commitment and everything that had gone through there. And it was just amazing.
I don't know so much they were honoring me. They were.
Right.
I think they were honoring the impact.
Yes. There you go. Better word. Yeah. Yeah. So that night of the transplant, I remember drove up, was there, Megan was there, your mom was there, and you were again in the process of getting that heart and just sitting there and just contemplating your life and just everything that you went through. And even though you didn't get the creative miracle, you've got an incredible miracle. In an opportunity. How did you process through that, Randy?
Well, some people, okay, it's a miracle through and through. I don't care what anybody says
yep.
as far as, the doctors
exactly.
and this and that. No. It's a miracle through and through. Just like Jason said the other day, with God formed them in the womb for that,
Amen.
You know. Whether they use it for God or not, God will use it for his good. We sang that, you know.
Yes.
So it's a miracle from God.
Amen.
You know,
Amen,
I don't...
Brother.
It's... it's incomprehensible. It's... You. I don't know. It leaves you speechless when you go through it. And the attitude and everything that comes with the territory, as far as like God allowed me to go through this for a specific, like, I wouldn't want anybody else to go through it. I wouldn't want anybody else to go through it, but God created me in a way where I can go through it.
Yes.
Because he was with me there the whole time. He was carrying me. He was keeping me, you know, peace and renewing of the mind.
mm-hmm.
You know, if you didn't have the renewing of the mind, then you're going to fall. You're going to collapse hard. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a great guy. And, you know, for somebody to, because I know that there were well-intending people that would say things, and sometimes people said some really stupid things along the way. But God worked a miracle in you,
mm-hmm.
through you. And there's a verse in Peter that says, those who suffer according to God's will. And sometimes we don't equate suffering with God's will, but I would
read the New Testament, you will.
You would see that. And like he said, God created him for this journey, for this path. And there were countless people.
Why was this man born blind?
Yeah. You have no idea.
For the glory of God.
It's for God's glory. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's for. Wasn't an easy journey. You've already said that.
No.
But through it all, through it all, you did feel blessed.
I was blessed through and through. I mean, you can't comprehend how blessed I am. You can't. I mean, you can't come up with the ways in your own puny brains to figure out how blessed we are. We can't. It's not possible.
Amen, brother.
But the Holy Spirit will give you these things so you can praise God and use them to bless others.
That's it.
With it.
That's it. So as we're thinking about, you know, just some of the recent things God's been speaking to us, and I know that last week the Holy Spirit impressed some things upon your heart, and you were able to come, and this is the body of Christ, man. Again, going back to that message that we heard from Pastor Matt, everybody has something to contribute to the puzzle, okay? And there are some people that maybe carry more than one piece, and that's okay, but every piece is important. So last week, as we were praying and ministering, and we had a wonderful, beautiful time of worship, and the Holy Spirit just began to minister. I think, Rodney, you were praying and just praying that out. I get so encouraged when you pray and prophesy, brother. That's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, we encourage you in that today. Thank you for sharing that gift. And just the singing and all of you, everybody was just, there was a one heartbeat in here. And then Randy... We were praying for people down here. Then Randy, you tell us what happened last week. You were kind of in the back.
Yeah, it first started when we were talking out there, and Jake looked at me and said I was a living miracle.
You are.
And that spoke to me. And then I was back there doing what Cooper is right now. And we were worshiping, and I felt the Holy Spirit start pointing people out to me. And I was looking at everybody. Nobody was paying attention to me, which is good. But I was looking at everybody. I was like, you've been healed. You've been healed. You've been set free. You've been delivered. You've been healed. And I was like, we're walking living testimonies of the gospel.
Yes.
I mean, and we were praying for healing. And that song, that like it says, don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. You're a living miracle.
Amen.
Right? You've been healed. You've been healed. Don't tell me he can't do it.
That's right.
Right? I mean, there's people here, me included, have been healed, have been delivered. Don't tell me he can't do it. I am a walking testimony.
Come on.
You know, nobody can take your testimony away.
That's right.
Understand that. Nobody, whether you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, whether you're talking to an atheist, an agnostic, whether you're talking to a Islamist, whatever, it doesn't matter. They can't take your testimony away. That's what you got. Use it.
Amen.
Bless others with it.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up, if you guys would. Randy has an illustration that he'd like to share with us this morning. And then that song that he just... he just mentioned. Hasn't this been awesome? Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. So Randy's got an illustration, and then after that, we're going to go out of here just singing a song. It's Too Good to Not Believe It, and I think it's going to really speak. Jake, come on up. We'll get you wet here, buddy. No.
Oh, I need...
he needs help here, buddy.
I need about three people. Who wants to come up here? Let's come. I mean, it's not going to be a, you know, great thing, like, but it's like...
Okay.
I'll try to not make a huge mess here, but there's no promises. I'm not going to make a huge mess. Here you go. Take one, pass it around. Okay. Let me get this. All right. So, however you want to look at this, my hand is God's hand. Well, no, this hand is God's hand. This picture is his storehouse. This is his blessings. Okay?
Amen.
Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm being so blessed. Oh my goodness. I'm almost overflowing. Guess what? My hand is shaking crazy. Whoa. Why? Okay, come up here. This, put your cup right there. Hopefully I can do this without, yep. But I'm blessing her. I'm blessing her with my encouragement, with all that God has given me, with my healing, that God, I'm just like encouraging her, speaking into her life and everything. Okay, you can go. Now you come up. These are just random people out on the street, you know, whether they're believers or unbelievers, right? So God continues to bless me. Now I'm continuing to bless other people. I'm blessing other people, you know, I'm pouring into their lives. You know, everything that God has blessed me with, I continue to bless. Amen. It's a giving process. All right, you come up. Now, again, I'm going to do the same thing. You know, blessing through everything God's blessed me with, right? Oh, good. All right. Okay. Thank you. Now you can pour them in here if you want.
Okay. I'm just going to spill my blessings.
All right. So now, you can
thank you.
Okay. They've all been wonderful. Thank you. Now.
Right here.
I have something else that I want to show you. This is us. Same thing. God's blessing. Now watch this. Blessing me. God, I pray that you bless me. Continue to bless me. Lord, I thank you for all your blessings. Look at this. What's going on here? I'm not pouring into anybody's life. It's just going nowhere. Look at that. You know what that is? You know what that is right there? That's selfishness. That's greed. And you know what else this is? When we're not pouring out the blessings into other people's lives, when we're just continuing to be blessed and fed and not sharing, it's useless in the kingdom of God. It's useless. You know, when Christ was born in human form, he came down, he humbled himself and was born human flesh. And guess what? He didn't come for himself. He came for us. It wasn't a selfish act.
Yeah.
It was to bless us.
Amen.
He was blessed to be a blessing. We are to be the mirror image of Christ.
He went to the cross and shed his blood for each and every one of us, for the whole world. It was not a selfish act. It was to bless us. You know, going through the transplant, one thing that you realize, there's a process that takes place. There's an exchange that takes place. I had a heart taken or given to me from someone else. Understand this. That's a life for a life. That's a life for a life. What good would it do if I just allow God to pour into me all of this and not share it with other people? What's the point? We are here to bless other people. We're not here for ourselves. We get over yourself. We're not here for us. We're here to be a blessing to other people. Christ, when he went to the cross, there was a transfer there, an exchange, a life for a life. Those who believe in Christ were given life. Yeah. What are you going to do with that life? Pour into others. There's every time I drive by this house, there was someone who passed away recently. I go by that house and I see the house, the car, everything in the yard still there. She didn't take it with her. She did not take it with her. The only thing that remains, whether positive or negative, is how she poured into other people's lives. That's the thing that's going to continue on. Amen. It's not the stuff. It's how you pour into others. He has healed me. He has healed me. And I know because of the promises that he can heal. Don't tell me he can't do it. I am trying to pour into your lives right now the blessings that God is overflowing in me from what I've been through. Don't tell me he can't do it. Because I am a living testimony of it.
Yes, you are.
And so are you.
Yes, you are.
Let's sing this song.
Thank you, Lord. I live stories that have proved your faith. Let's stand to our feet. I've seen miracles, my mind.